This is a time of worship and a time for us to gather together in the name of the Lord. We do want to take and look at the Word of God. I would ask you if you would please take your copy of God's Word, and would you open to the book of Mark, chapter 15. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those four Gospels at the beginning of the New Testament. So if you've got it on your iPad or your phone or something, go ahead and power it up to Mark 15. If you still are like me and you prefer a good old-fashioned paper Bible, because you like the way the pages turn, just open it to like in the middle right-hand side of it, you'll get to the Gospel of Mark. And if you don't have a copy of God's Word, you'll see them in the seat back in front of you. We would love to have you open and look at that together with us, because we do teach what we believe the Bible has instructed us. And we want that to be the foundation of all of our faith and practice. And we want you to have that Bible, that Word of God, to take with you. So if you don't have one, please feel free to take that with you today. It's our gift to you. We want you to have it. But the question I have before us today is a very simple one. We have been talking for the last few weeks about belief. The things we believe, belief is big as life. But the question I have is, so what? We have all these things we believe. We've looked at who we believe God is as creator. And as the one who, as the Father God, in that understanding of the Trinity, that one who has designed and put in motion all that we see and experience. We did talk about the Trinity and what it meant for there to be this amazing reality that there is one God, and yet in order for him to really express, in order to be as big as he is, he exists in these three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that they are, they're distinct and yet they're not. They're independent and separate and yet they're one, and it's this mystery, and we can't explain it. We don't even want to explain it, because if we could explain it, then that would be a God much smaller than we need. But we have this wonderful sense of the person of Jesus Christ and his work for us, and we have this wonderful person of the Spirit who seals us and empowers us, and we say, what a great God. And we'll continue to be talking about what we believe about man and about our future and about things like sin and salvation and heaven and hell and the world in which we live and the nature of our identity as a church. These are all things we want to talk about. But in the end, you want to go, so what? And I want to encourage you that the so what can be measured in a very simple way, and that's, has there been change? Am I different because I believe God created me? Am I different because I believe Jesus saved me? Am I different because I believe the Holy Spirit empowers me? Am I different because I believe that I am part of something called the church? Am I different because I believe I have a mission to take the love of God to a world that has never heard him? Am I different? Has something changed? And then I want to just talk for a moment this morning about one person. A person in whom we see that extraordinary change. That person is a name we don't often talk about, but it's Joseph of Arimathea. I want you to look at the story that Mark recorded. Now, this story is told in all four Gospels. You'll find it in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, and in John. And if you say, where, look at the last chapter or two. That's where you'll always find is in the last chapter or two. And as you do, you read this in Mark 15, verse 42, said, when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have died already. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was in fact already dead. And when Pilate learned from the centurion that Jesus was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph brought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance to the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph saw where he was laid. Now, some of us have heard this story before about Joseph of Arimathea. John's gospel tells us that Nicodemus was there. And I find that interesting because Nicodemus, you recall in John chapter 3, was that Pharisee who had come to Jesus at night, not sure that he was ready to let everybody know that he wanted to talk to Jesus, but he came to Jesus at night. And in that same part of John 19 where we read about Nicodemus, of Joseph of Arimathea coming to take the body, we're told that in fact Joseph of Arimathea had been a disciple of Jesus, but secretly. So we've got two men in Joseph and Nicodemus, both of whom had come to say, Jesus is special. Jesus is maybe God. In fact, you know, Nicodemus has said, we know you come from God because no one else could do the things you do except he came from God. And yet both of them had held back. Nicodemus meeting at night, Joseph of Arimathea meeting separately. And that had gone on throughout Jesus' public ministry. And these men had apparently been there and watched what happened, even in that final week after Jesus had entered Jerusalem so triumphantly, and then the people churned against him, and now the cries were going out, crucify him, crucify him, until it led to that point where he was put on that cross on Calvary. That must have been something for these men to behold. In fact, when we look at the story in Luke 23, we're told that this man, Joseph of Arimathea, did not agree. He was a member of the council, but he did not agree with what the council had done and, in fact, dissented from it, which is a whole thing that has real meaning if you know how the council of the Jews at that time worked. We're not here to get into that, but they had obviously had real questions about who Jesus was and disagreed with what was happening, and they didn't want to see it, but what difference did it make? They didn't want their friends to know. They didn't want to be public about it. Nothing had really changed in their lives until this moment. And that's why I wanted to read out of Mark's gospel. Because it says in verse 43 that Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. In that moment, Joseph went public with whose side he was on. That's why it says he took courage. As a member of the Jewish council who had been the ones to petition Pilate to take this horrible action against Jesus, Joseph now went and said to Pilate, let me have his body. Let me care for him at this time. And then Joseph, we understand, purchased all the things that were necessary, the shroud and the spices, and he and Nicodemus went. And in front of the crowds that were gathered there, and you say, were there crowds gathered there? All indications are that there were still crowds gathered there. In fact, it was so early in the process that Pilate said he was surprised that Jesus had died already and had to send a centurion to confirm it. So guards were there, and people were there, and everybody was at this event. And for us, it sounds gruesome, but that was the way things worked in those days. And Joseph and Nicodemus, in front of everybody, especially the other disciples, and it says the women were there, Mary and Martha, and they went and they took Jesus' body and they took it down and they cared for it. They prepared it. And then Joseph took it to his prepared tomb. We're told in other passages that he was apparently a wealthy man, and this tomb was carved into a rock in a garden nearby where Jesus had been crucified. It was from that tomb, that tomb with the stone that was rolled in front of it and sealed by a Roman seal and protected by Roman guards. It was from that tomb that in just a short time, Jesus would emerge and the angel would sit on it and would say to those who came, I know you're looking for Jesus, but he is not here because what class? He is risen. He is risen. Well, that tomb was Joseph of Arimathea's, and he let everyone know on that day when he stood up in front and asked Pilate if he could care for Jesus and took Jesus off that cross and prepared that body and put it in his own tomb, on that day he had the courage to change and to let everyone know whose side he was on. My friends, we have a lot of things to do today, and this is our time for us to talk about budgets and elect our elders and take a look at where our church is moving, you know, structurally and all that in the coming days and weeks and months and year ahead. And that's a great thing for us to do. But we always want to come back to some challenge from the Word of God, and the challenge is simply this. As we teach and talk and work and call ourselves Christians, what has changed? Because if our life goes on just like it would if we didn't call ourselves Christians, then maybe we don't believe what we say. But if we really do believe, if we believe in a God who created and a Jesus who saves and a Spirit that empowers and a church that is enabled to do his work and a mission to go into the world, if we really believe those things, then it should be evident every day as we have the courage to stand up and be different. Be different for the glory of God. That's our belief as big as life, and that's what we're committed to doing here at Washington Heights.